The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 1. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. How many of you had to really work at learning how to bounce a basketball, hit a baseball, serve a volleyball, or were you a ringer at your sport of choice? I mean, how many of you had coaches that really were patient with you because you were really fumbling all over the place? You know, it takes a while to learn how to play basketball. It takes a while to learn how to play football. It takes a while to learn the rules for the game. How about driving a car? Took a while. You know, it's hard to get into the rhythm of things. And once you're in the rhythm of things, sometimes, it's easy to do it. Fishing, skiing. Some of the coaches I had, they cared a lot. I mean, they yelled a lot. I mean, they cared a lot. I mean, they weren't afraid to tell me what they thought. And to the person watching, it probably looked like a love-hate relationship. But I knew from my coaches that were really invested with me, they wanted me to succeed. And I knew from some of the coaches, they could care less, giving me enough rope to just fail. But it takes a while to get into a rhythm. And once you got that rhythm, you can go a lot of places. Today, we hear about our Christian rhythm. And it is a basic rhythm to your life and my life. And we just heard it. I know we went by it pretty fast. The time is fulfilled, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then he said, follow me. So this is called the rhythm of faith. To repent and believe in the gospel, to follow Jesus. It's like our spiritual breath. It's your life and my life all the time. More than just a liturgical step along the way on a Sunday morning. It really is your life and my life. The good news is there's a coach that loves us dearly and wants us to be a blessing. And he is always with us. But let's think about this rhythm. And for some of you, this is just basic review. To repent means to rethink. To rethink about our thinking, our talking, our activities. You can write it in if you want to. To repent means to think again. How many times have you thought something and you think to yourself, man, I shouldn't think that? That's repentance. Or you've said something, you know, it's too late, the toothpaste is already out of the tube. Oh, I can't believe I said that. That's repentance. And it is to be applied to all the aspects of our life, across our human experience. There are things that we can repent about and repent of across everything and anything in our lives. And then Jesus says, believe in the gospel. You know, sometimes when we repent, we just feel bad, and we feel bad for a day and a week. Some people feel bad for a long time. And that's not the rhythm of faith. That's getting stuck and beating ourselves up. Repent and believe in the gospel. To believe in the gospel, and you can write this down, means to trust in what Jesus has done that rescues me from whatever is making me feel bad. So I had a lustful thought. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. So I got really mad on the way into Dallas. Thank you, Lord, for no longer being mad at me. I'm trusting in that good news. Or maybe there's something in your life years ago you still are willing to beat yourself up with. To trust in the gospel means you're going to leave that with Jesus. It's just with him now, so you can move forward without that anchor holding you back from your future. To believe in the gospel means to trust in what Jesus did for whatever bothers you, leaving it with him, going forward in faith. And then to follow Jesus. Oh, we're supposed to follow Jesus all the time. But sometimes when we're watching some of the things we're watching on TV, or maybe we're trying to think about some of the things, maybe we realize at that moment we're not following closely to the Lord. The Lord really wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. Can the Lord go hunting with you? Amen. Amen, Chuck. Amen. Can he go skiing? Can the Lord go to work with you? Can the Lord deal with cantankerous kids with you? In fact, he wants to. In fact, he knows how to get you through it. So when he says, follow me, it's not this nebulous thing where I guess I need to quit my job and follow him. No, follow him at work. Follow him in your work. He wants us to stay close to him with whatever's going on. He certainly wants to be acquainted with your routine every day. And this is the rhythm of our faith, rhythm of our life. To repent, believe in the gospel, and follow Jesus. You know, when we're repenting, oftentimes we realize we've fallen away from following Jesus. And then believing in the gospel, trusting in what he's done, then we go forward. Then we go forward closer to Jesus, saying, Lord, I just want to stay closer to you the next time I deal with this. And that is the rhythm of our faith. This is the rhythm of your life and my life. We are learning these days that there are plenty of people that call themselves Christians, but this whole rhythm of life, of faith, of spirituality is very foreign to them. They think that just having God every once in a while is enough. They want to feel good. They don't want anything that confronts them about anything. And they don't see God in their struggles. Today is a different kind of message. For them, it's an invitation to repent and believe in the gospel and to walk with Jesus through this day and through this week. That's really what it's all about. And the really good news is that this isn't left up to you. I'm not saying this so that now you have to figure out how to coach yourself because the sermon will be over in moments. No. What's really cool about this is you have a coach who's with you all the time. It's the Holy Spirit. And Luther, in the Small Catechism, the explanation to the third article says this. Whoops. He says, you know, regarding I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, and so forth. He says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. I cannot. So the very reality of your faith in the Lord is a confirmation of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Praise the Lord. You know, when people hear for the first time in their life the good news that Jesus died for them and they believe that, the Holy Spirit is at work in that, converting them, making them alive, making them awake. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. The Holy Spirit is gifting us in all kinds of different ways, enlightening me with his gifts so that I can use my life as a gift to others. You're learning more and more all your days as a Christian what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be in service to the people around you. And it's the Holy Spirit who's training you. There's more to learn. There's more growth in your life and my life to experience. Don't be a spectator to your faith. Be in the rhythm of faith. Repenting, believing in the gospel, following the Lord. Because that's what the coach has called us to do. He sanctified, makes us holy in Christ even now. You are without fault. You are holy in Christ. You have a righteousness in Christ Jesus. Don't look at yourself for that. You'll see a mess. But in Christ, you have his perfect holiness. And kept me in the true faith. So not only does the Holy Spirit bring us to faith, but the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, keeping us in the faith, and then coaching us. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus in the one true faith. Think about it. Not only is this about you, not only is this about me, but we become a part of God's team. In the same way he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith with Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is at work. Man, how many times in your life and my life do we feel like we've fouled out? There have been a couple of times in my athletic career where I just gave up. But my coach didn't. But boy, he could yell. He didn't give up. And even when we want to give up on ourselves, who doesn't give up on us? The Holy Spirit. Even when we feel like we should just throw in the towel and just say, what's the use? The Holy Spirit is there, coaching us, encouraging us. He's not giving us enough rope to hang ourselves. He's caring for us. There are things going on in your life and my life where he's at work right now, helping us so that we don't give up. What a coach we have. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. I mean, what a gift it is to know that the Holy Spirit is at work applying the gifts of Jesus and what he earned for us on Calvary's cross, applying that to our lives. He richly and daily forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. Think about it. Who's encouraging you to live in forgiveness? Who's encouraging you to live in God's love? No one less than the Holy Spirit, the coach. And there are times, you know, where he's going to give us those rude awakenings. Why are you thinking this way? You're thinking so ugly. Or why did you say this? Why are you talking that way? Or why are you neglecting this important part of your life? Or why are you just leaving them go? You know, we call these rude epiphanies, these rude awakenings. But we're in the season of epiphany, the season of light. And the season of green for epiphany is different from the season of Pentecost. Pentecost is that slow and steady growth that you and I live in oftentimes in our lives. But there are times when we just have these rude awakenings, these powerful epiphanies, where God is at work training us in the ways of godliness. And those things can be painful, but they're still beneficial as the Holy Spirit trains us in trusting in the gospel and then walking closer with the Lord through the challenges that come our way. And then Luther concludes by saying, on the last day he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The work of the Holy Spirit. So where are you at in this rhythm called faith? Repenting of your sins, believing in the gospel, following the Lord. You know, in our epistle reading, the Apostle Paul is really talking to us. We have so many bountiful blessings materially that we can get so focused on the temporal things of this life that we put way too much power in them. How are we investing in the people around us? How are we caring for the people around us? How are we helping them with their rhythm of faith? Not only is this the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, but this is actually the ministry of the Holy Spirit through us. Where moms and dads teach their children what it means to repent and believe in the gospel and follow the Lord. Where elders in a congregation encourage a congregation to live in this rhythm. You know, it's not about just us as individuals. God has made us a part of a people. You know, there are times when congregations can be so uncoordinated and so messed up in their rhythms, their various rhythms, that they don't seem to be doing much of anything worthwhile. How about the basketball games you've been watching, college ball, or how about the NFL? It takes a while for a team to get coordinated. It takes a while to get the mojo. How about us? How about you as families? This is the rhythm of faith. And it's a whole lot more important than learning how to catch a fish or cross-country ski. It's a whole lot more important than dribbling a basketball or running a race. Now, those things can be fun and worthwhile. And even in those, the Holy Spirit is at work teaching us how to live in repentance and faith and calling upon the Lord. But the good news is that we have a coach who cares for us very much. And we live out this rhythm, not trying to achieve the victory, but having the victory in what God has done for us through His Son. So, go get Him. Go get Him in repentance and faith and in willing service. Be what God has made you to be in the lives that you have the privilege to touch with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.